Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Your brother here, Dr. King, just a moment. And this is so important, the perspective, understand the perspective. And I want to say again, this is so important. This is so important because understand, you know, America is America. So everything we do has to happen in the context of how God set this nation up and allowed it to exist. And we have a constitution. And a constitution, imagine if you are a fish in a fish bowl, a fish aquarium. And this water is being held in by the sides of this aquarium. And you could do whatever you want to inside those walls of that aquarium. But if you break outside those walls of those aquariums, those boundaries that God set up over you as a fish, and that, then you're going to spill out all over the place. Mm-hmm. Does it really matter at that point what your argument or your viewpoint is? And but you need to be able to, obviously, you can imagine that fish tank being for us the Constitution, that everything we do needs to happen in the context of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we're made up of. That's, we operate in the context, mm-hmm, of that. And a lot of lingo that you're hearing on C-SPAN articles and amendments and that type of thing, they're actually saying what we need to understand. This is why we're here. This is what's going on. And we need to actually learn the Constitution. We need to learn the Constitution. And when Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who I believe is and was an apostle sent by God to bring us up to God's original intent for this nation, because, I mean, he did. I mean, he stood up and began to say, you know, this is unjust. This is what the Constitution is, justice for all.
Right.
And this is the original intent. And so what he said and what he's talking about here, he's talking about, you know, to America, and that's what we're talking to America about, God and country in that order, and Israel. And what he's saying here very specifically is, when he's talking about the papers, he's talking about the Constitution. Listen to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
All we say to America is, be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges, because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so, just as I say, we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
You cannot add one thing to what Dr. King had just said, for truly, that's our heartbeat. That's our heartbeat. And we, when you make the decision to stand up for what's right, when darkness is being organized against you, when a bipolar narrative to the actual Constitution is being pushed against you for decades, you know, what was happening with Dr. King and the African-American people at that time, understand he was organizing in the day. He was organizing for the light.
That's right.
He was organizing for what was right. He was organizing in the context of the fishbowl of the Constitution. That's why he said, America, I'm only saying, we're just holding to you what's on the paper. And what he's talking about is something you need to take the time to read. You need to read the Constitution of the United States. You need to read the Declaration of Independence. There's a reason why that 150 years after King James passed, that they were signing the Declaration of Independence, declaring our independence from a king, because God introduced himself when man found the Word of God. The Bible was brought back into the hands of men. And we found out when we met the God of the Bible that we could be one nation under God. And so they declare their independence from a king. And we knew that we could actually be a government by the people and for the people. And they wrote 27 reasons in the Declaration of Independence why they're going to declare our independence in July 4th of 1776. And in this particular declaration, they wrote, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume amongst the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to separate. We hold these truths to be self-evident. These are just self-evident, which means we just know. We have this. We don't want to lose this. We hold these truths to be self-evident. I'm reading from the Declaration of Independence, what began this nation, the original ten. We're only holding you to what's on the paper. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are empowered by their Creator. That's God, folks. Empowered by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, this is it. This is what we do. And then it goes on to say, and to secure these rights, to make sure they're not taken away from each every human being, citizen of America, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their power from the consent of the governed. That means you, folks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You are the ones who choose who's going to be in power and what they're going to do. That's why Dr. King could stand up in the context of the Constitution, stand up under the Lord's hand and just walk rightly and say, "This, we're just going to go back to the papers. We need to get back to God as the church in America. We need to get back to the founding fathers' original intent for this nation, why God lifted it up." It goes on to say that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, which is rights, people's rights, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish or to institute new governments, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness of the people there. I mean, think about it. It's like it's based on the people. That's why we can stand up legally under the law, biblically, under God, in the context of what we're doing, and say, you know what? There's a rebellion taking place against the original ten of the founding fathers. There's a rebellion taking place against the original purposes of why God blessed this nation. It's a rebellion, an organized rebellion being led against God, against the Constitution, against Christians, against Jews, against the founding fathers who had laid down 27 reasons why we declared our independence from a tyranny, from King George, against authority, against that is all good, against everything that is good and right, against the light of God, against the knowledge of God, against the ways of God. And let me tell you something, Jeremiah 18:7 through 10. This is what God says. If at any time I, God, announce that a nation such as the United States of America, or kingdom, is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed. And if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on the disaster that I have planned. And if, at another time, I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, but if that nation does evil in my sight and does not obey me, I will reconsider the good I intended for America. We're just continuing the last part of the talk about are we being organized? If we are, for what reason? And, of course, the conclusion was it's been happening since the days of the organization of Lucifer in heaven. And so what do we do about this? And as I was saying before, is that Dr. King set the great example for us to be able to do that. And right before we went to break, I was reading, you know, what Jeremiah, God saying Jeremiah is Jeremiah 18, 7 through 10. It's just kind of the context of that, because we're going to be talking about what do we do? What do we do? We have to understand, get the right perspective here. He says, if at any time I, God, this is Jeremiah 18, 7 through 10, if any time I, God, announce that a nation, such as the United States, or a kingdom, to be uprooted, torn down, or destroyed, and in the nation, and if the nation I warn repents of its evil, in other words, God lets us know prophetically. He will send a watchman, and he'll say, okay, this is what's happened. You're about to be destroyed. You're not going to be a nation anymore, and I'm going to uproot you, and you're just going to be a memory in the history book. Mm. That's what it sounds like, and it's not going to be a pretty thing. Well, He tells us in advance so that we can change our minds. We can say, hey, God, I'm not going to argue with you. You're right, you know. And you say, you know, forgive me, God. And then you repent, which means the things that we're doing that God that led us to this place, we stop doing them. And he says, if we repent of our evil, then I, God, will relent. He will stop and not inflict on America the disaster that he had planned. And if at another time, God, I announce a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted. In other words, hey, the original tent was good. It's what I wanted. I wanted that to happen. But if it, like America, does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended for it. So in other words, you hear people saying, well, God's got a covenant with America. Well, yeah, he does. But if we broke the covenant, we're going to be in trouble. Yeah. He doesn't break his covenant. We break it. Right. He has a covenant with Israel. Hello. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Then what do we do? What do we do when this storm and these things are happening? This whole activity taking place in front of me. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13 through 15. This is what God says. Because he just talked about us this when this thing begins to happen. When I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague amongst my people. Understand, this is just like Ezekiel 33 and 37, when he's saying, listen, you know, when I send a storm, when I actually do this, God, you know, Satan does not have one up on, he does not have one up on God. This is God's totally 100% in control. You have to get that perspective, because you'll find out down the road when we lose our nation that was the right perspective. And so God's saying, when I'm doing these things, when I'm doing it, he says, when you see these things happening, and he says, when I'm sending it amongst my people, so that's God doing that. He says, this is verse 14, if my people, who's my people, the one that he sent the devouring locust to, the one that the rain stopped coming down on, the one who is suffering from a plague. And I mean, there's plagues, there's stuff happening all over the place right now, just like it was prophesied by John Paul Jackson. And it's just everybody's got their head buried in digital addiction or something. It's like, look up from your mobile phone for a moment just to see that even NFL almost had to close down the other day because of some sort of bacterial thing going on, reportedly. And so he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. So the very ones that we're receiving this discipline from a loving father, And we have to understand, consider hardship as discipline. God's treating you as a son. He says, if we'll understand this paradigm and say, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, in other words, get the pride out of your life. How in the world could you have any pride in your life? But I'm telling you, it's amazing. There's so much pride. It's almost scary to talk about it because you think, obviously, God, I got pride in my life because it's just everywhere. God, help us humble ourselves. And he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that means abide with him, and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, America. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's happening. I mean, this is God allowing this to happen. The darkness came in because the church allowed it, the absence of light. He says, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll forgive your sins. He'll forgive our sins. He'll forgive their sins. Mm-hmm. God wants to forgive you, but you got to show up to get it, and you got to stay with him and have reason that I want to be yours. And I'll forgive your sin and I'll heal your land. He'll heal this land. Listen, if you truly want to be someone who cares about the earth, if you want to be somebody who's part of the Green Party, God is all into the Green Party because God says if we will deal with our sin instead of our politics, then he will heal our land.
That's right.
He's the one that heals our land.
Yeah.
And you think about that. So what do we do as Christians with this rebellion? Repent. Repent from my own personal rebellion against God. Call it what it is. If God says this is how your marriage should be, and you're walking your marriage totally different than it should be, change it. Change it. If you're not playing your role as the husband, repent and play your role as the husband. If you're not playing your role as the wife, repent and play your role as the wife. If you're rebelling against your parents, repent. Follow their leadership. If you're not training your kids up in the way they should go, you're pushing that off to some sort of government institution, repent. Begin to train your kids up in the way they should go. I mean, there's just so much on repentance, and we'll make that available to you. And then that's your personal repentance. Secondly, humble yourself. Humble ourselves before God, which means become totally dependent on him. Get rid of everything you're leaning on. This is different for everybody. Some people can have things. Some people can't have things. Mm-hmm. You give them things, they're bowing down to it, and they worship him. You give them a position, all of a sudden they're wearing it on their tag. All of a sudden you give them a car, and they can't stop talking about it. You give them money, and they can't even honor God with it. I don't know. Some people, you can give them millions of dollars, and they're the same person, so it's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. It depends. If God gives you something, and you make it your God, you can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Then begin to seek his face and his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said. His dominion in your life. His dominion. If you don't have God's dominion in your life, don't be telling the nation how to have God's dominion in their life. It begins with us. Revival, a third great awakening, begins with us personally saying, dear God, I want you to have full dominion over me. I want to seek your face. Pray. Abide. And if you don't know how to abide, we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org, and request your free simple plan today, because you need to begin to abide now if we want this nation to stand. We don't want God to change his mind over this nation and all of a sudden uproot it. And then be a Christian American. Not an American Christian, but a Christian American like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Be loyal to Jesus. Be loyal to those that are his, and love folks. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. And realize God has allowed this nation to exist, and we can mess it up. We can take it down. And he can take it down, just like a mother would tell a kid, I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out. This is what God's saying to America right now. As a watchman on the wall, I brought you into this world, America, and I can take you out.
Sorry.
I can take you out. Realize God exalts a nation and can humble a nation. Realize that God holds kings' hearts in his hands and directs it like a water course. Quit directing all your own words to a few group of 530 folks in Washington, D.C., and start directing them to your own heart, to your own home, to your own life, and say, dear God, it's me. I have sinned. You can change the heart of every leader if I'll just change my heart towards you. Realize that God gives us grace if we humble ourselves, but he resists us if we're proud. Realize you could be talking to a God who don't want anything to do with you because you're walking around in pride. He'll resist you. Realize that Jesus demonstrated this, as we talked about, exactly when he stood before authority. He knew that no authority existed except that which God has existed, and he knew that God would work with that authority that was right there when he was talking with him, and he just sought direction that morning when he abided with the Father, the one who was the organizer of the day at that moment, and he said, this is the moment, this is the time. Now it's time to be the sacrifice. Mm. Listen, it's time for us as the church to demonstrate, to walk out like Jesus did. WWJD. What did Jesus do? It's time for us to answer the question, WWJO. Who would Jesus organize? And we know who that is now. It's the church. And since we are Christian Americans, we can look to fellow Americans, men and women who stood up in the context of this Constitution, Christians who stood up for God, that you can go back from the beginning of this nation and say, you know what? They stood up in the context of what's right. They didn't break any laws. They just stood up and said, listen, I'm only holding you to what's written on the paper. I've read them now. I understand them now. I know what's going on. It's time for us to stand up. Listen, if you don't stand up after bowing down before God, church, you will not have a nation. You will not have this what our founding fathers called an experiment, which God allowed to rise from the dust. 81%, according to George Barna, 81%. Forget about reading the Declaration of Independence, church. Forget about reading the Constitution of the United States. You don't even read the Constitution of God. 81%, according to George Barna, don't even read the Bible. How in the world can you say that we're one nation under God and you hold your hands up at the ball game and hold your heart over, like you're pledging an allegiance to a nation, one nation under God, when you don't even read his Constitution, the Word?
Right.
So I'm telling you, get in the Word, abide with God, begin first, let the Word of God begin to deal with you. Only 3%, listen, only 3%, according to George Barna, who are professing Christians are reading their Bible in the context of living their life by it. Only 3%. That's not good. That's not good at all. Needless to say, they obviously haven't read the Declaration of Independence or Constitution. Mm. But if you choose to read the Declaration of Independence first and the Constitution second, and maybe pick up the Bible, realize those are useless documents.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be blown away by the wind. And then, as we're walking out and imitating those men of God, those Christian Americans that have gone before us, those apostles who stood up and led us to our better parts, who we are as a people, we begin to think about when Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus in chapter 6, verse 16, he says, in addition to all this, I want you to take up the shield of faith. It's time for us to have faith in God again. Faith in Christ in us. Faith in knowing that God is the one that lifted this nation up, and it's God that will take it down. Therefore, we want to please God, so we're going to stand up for God in America. We're going to stand up for being one nation under God. We're going to repent. We went through the whole process, but now we're going to stand up with our shield of confidence, our surety and certainty, understanding what he said. When we do this, it will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the dark organizers, of all of the evil one. And we take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, 81%, which is the Word of God. And we say, you know what? It's time for us to do what Jesus did. It is written. It is written. And what I'm telling you, it is written. It is written that God will exalt the nation. It is written that when godly leadership is over a nation cheers and it's blessed and it's fruitful, but its teeth cringe when it has dark leadership over it. But understand this, God allows it to happen when we are in rebellion to him. I want to be able to say right up front that we're finding out, oh my goodness, this makes sense. Now it's time for us to have faith. Mm-hmm. Such a gospel has been promulgated, you know, faith for stuff and things in my way and my will and my clothes and my car and my, it's faith to stand for God.
Yes.
Right. It's faith to stand in the lion's den. It's faith to stand in front of a fiery furnace and said, yes, my God can deliver me, but even if he doesn't deliver me, I'm sorry. I'm loyal to the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's faith to say, you know what? I don't care if this is all I have is the widow's mite left, if this is all I have, I'm going to be faithful to God in my tithes and my offerings because he's the one that blesses the work of my hand. It's faith to live your marriage right before God, even when the partner in your marriage leaves you. It's faith to stand what's right as parents before God, even when your children leave you. It's faith as a minister to preach the gospel, even if that whole group of folks who call themselves the church resent you for preaching the truth and they leave you. Faith. It's faith to stand. It's not faith for things, ideas, stuff, and money. Come on. This is time to stand. It's time to stand up for God. Where is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Where is Daniel in the lion's den? Where is a Paul? You know, where is a Peter saying, listen, I don't even want to look like that I'm being crucified like Jesus. Crucify me upside down. Where is James that was hung right there in the middle of Jerusalem because he stood for God? Where are these folks saying that they're believers and they stand? Listen, we don't want that to happen, but my goodness, if you just stand for God. So here we are. When you heard Dr. King speak, he's saying, listen, I understand what Greg is saying. That's what he's saying. I understand. He says, listen, I might not get there with you. In other words, he's saying, listen, it's just I am right before God. I'm standing up before God. I answer to God. That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, I don't care. I don't fear no man. I don't fear no one. I don't fear any dogs. I don't fear what they can do to me. But he did do one thing. He feared God, and he stood for God, and I'm excited about the day you get a chance to go meet him and talk to him. But meeting him through his niece, we'll talk about a little bit later on, is a powerful thing. So what's going to happen to this Lucifer who Saul Alinsky dedicated his book to, Rules for Radicals, calling him the first radical, the first one of who he is, Saul Alinsky, who, by the way, our president taught it for 4 years, his tactics, who Hillary Clinton wrote her college thesis on it that's sealed to the day right now during this program. It's sealed to this day, to my knowledge, that you can't even read it. I don't care. You know, I don't, you know, what can you, it's a different world back than it was then. But what's going to happen to this one that so many folks who are moving in the area of organizing the night? What's going to happen to Lucifer's children? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to Saul Alinsky's brothers and sisters and children? This is what he says. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 10. He says, when a thousand years are over, Lucifer will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, Russia, Iran, the whole crew, will gather for battle. In number that they're so big, it's like the sand on the seashore. That many people will gather against God's people. They will march out across the breadths of the earth and surround the camp of God's people. The city he loves. Hello, Jerusalem. That's why they booed Jerusalem when we were talking about this. But fire comes down from heaven and devours them. What's going to happen? Just like when fire came down and devoured all of Jezebel and all of her Jezebel's prophets, I mean, when Elijah called the fire down, the true Elijah, Jesus Christ, is going to call the fire down, and these flames are just going to lick across the earth. And all these Jew haters, all these, I hate Jerusalem, all of these ones coming against Israel, coming against Jerusalem, will be devoured by the flames. And then he goes on and says this. And this Lucifer, who Saul Alinsky dedicated himself to, who President Obama taught for 4 years and who Hillary Clinton wrote an essay, a thesis on, this Lucifer who deceived them, and that's what he's doing, he's deceived them, was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets had already been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever 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 and ever, eternal torment. Do you really want to be organized by the night? Do you really want to be organized by the night?
Mm.
This is your end. Because not only Jezebel, but also her children, mm-hmm. if they don't repent and say, you know what, I'm ready to be organized by the day himself. I am a child of the light. I am a child of the day. We wrapped up the last part of are we being organized? If we are, what for? And it's the crescendo of how we should respond and why we should respond. And it's like, okay, we heard all that, but what do we do? What do we do? Because we talked about perspective all the way through it, but now you know you need to actually listen to it in its entirety, because it's happening since the day that Lucifer decided to organize the dark and organize the night in heaven in the presence of God, and it's been happening ever since. But there's also the organizer of the day, that's Jesus, who is organizing his church and his family to do his will here on earth to bring him and the Father glory. If you also got a chance to be able to hear Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., these awesome words in one of his speeches is that all we say to America is be true to what's written on the paper.
Mm.
But see, he spoke that in authority.
Mm.
He didn't speak that just as an American citizen. He spoke that as a man of God, a man who stood before God. And if you read the Ten Commandments, if you read the Ten Commitments, I meant, that you had to actually agree with before you walk with him. He says, not only am I going to know Jesus, but if you're going to walk with me and we're going to stand up, you're going to walk, you're going to know Jesus, and you're going to spend time with him. And these 10 commitments, you're going to have to know these 10 commitments. And you read it, it's like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
It was a pastor, but he also was an apostle because he brought us into our better part than the original 10 I believe the Father had for our nation. So you get a chance to be able to hear that as well. And I'm excited about hearing about John's going to be sharing from Dr. King.
Yeah. You know, I believe, too, that that message that he shared was the last message he shared right before he was assassinated. It was one of the last ones right there in his life, prophetically speaking, in that declaration. Yeah. My goodness.
And from our perspective, too, knowing that he was a Christian.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That he said, and when he said, you know, I might not get there with you. Mm-hmm. Understand, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, that Dr. King immediately, amongst the evilness that took place in Tennessee that took his life, understand, it was a momentary pause, and next thing you know, he's standing before God himself, and he did it right.
Yeah,
he did it right. You know what I'm saying? It was like, oh my goodness, there's so many cowards today.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, but there's people that just won't stand up and just say, you know, it's going to cost you everything to follow Jesus.
That's right.
That's right.
And last I read, when you, I know a lot of people ain't reading their Bibles, but it says in Revelation that the cowards don't even enter into heaven.
Mm.
And there's this whole new coward theme going on. And it's like, no, it's okay. Coward over with us. You know, and it's like, no, we're supposed to be bold. But he stood boldly before evil, evil organizers of the night who are pushing a bipolar negative against the African-American people in our country and against using all kinds of authority and judges and congressmen and senators. And they were all buying into this dark view of organizers of the dark. And he stood up and allowed the organizer of the day, Jesus himself, to organize him and that empowerment. He stood up. And today, because he stood up, our country's here today, but it's time now that in our generation, we need to imitate those that have gone before us, and we're going to have to stand up. We're going to have to stand up for God's original intent for this nation. We're going to have to stand up for what's written on the paper, not just the Constitution, not just the Declaration, but the Bible.
And
we're going to need to read the Bible. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers, because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right, the VFM radio program. You're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in your area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.